Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to another episode of
Fingers on Buzzers. Fingers on Buzzers. That's what we're called. It was indecipherable.
It was. The people are going to think there's something wrong with their radiograms or whatever they're listening to this podcast on.
The wireless.
We've just started in a weird way today, but it is us. It's Lucy and Jenny and producer Amanda with Fingers on Buzzers. And we have a special celebrity guest today.
Yeah, nice. Fun person to have around, unless you're in a quiz against him and he'll get fierce.
I mean, and he's actually not always a fun person to have around, as we prove abundantly during our interview with the brilliant Hal Cruttendon. It's quite an emotional roller coaster, I think, or an emotional waltzers rather than roller coaster, because he reveals his nice side, his nasty side, his happy side, his sad side, and we talk far more about rugby than I would really have hoped. But you and him seem quite into it, so that's good. So let's meet our guest, the fabulous Hal Cruttendon. Now, we are thrilled to be joined by someone I've known for many, many years and loved for all that time. A brilliant comedian and a seasoned television quizzer, which we shall be talking to about, is Mr. Hal Cruttendon.
Yay!
Oh, it's so lovely to see you. Fresh from, you've finished a tour, you've got that.
I finished a tour, yes. Why am I doing this? I've got nothing to sell. So basically, yes, but could you put this out in about 2025?
We'll just keep putting it out,
yes,
until you have something to promote.
That'll
be absolutely fine.
Yes.
Obviously, we'll talk to you about all sorts of things, but let's get straight into the quizzing, because Celebrity Mastermind, you've done it not once.
Twice. Yes.
I'm going to do a little quiz for Jen, because I don't know what your specialist subjects have been, but I had a look on the BBC website, and tantalisingly, it just said who you were on with and what the specialist subjects were, but not who was doing
what. So I'm going to see,
Jen, if you can decide which one was hell. So on the show, the most recent mastermind you did, it was comedian Tim Vine, newsreader Alistair Stewart, comedian Hal Cruttendon, and journalist and broadcaster Samira Ahmed.
Oh.
All people we love except Alistair Stewart. I've got no idea about Alistair Stewart, but I love all the other people. So the subjects were Jaws, Lewis Hamilton, Magnus Magnusson, and Space 1999.
Wow.
Now, I think I know which one Samira did.
Give us those again.
So, Jaws, Lewis Hamilton, Magnus Magnusson, and Space 1999. So, you've got Tim Vine, Alistair Stewart, Hal Cruttendon, and Samira Ahmed. Who went for what?
Okay. Who is the dorkiest of those people?
Because they would have gone for Space 1999.
Yes. Yes. Correct. Yes.
The dorkiness, yes.
And who was clever enough to go for Magnus Magnusson?
That's a good one, isn't it? That's a good one. That's like Andy Oshoy doing John Humphreys. It's sort of meta.
Well, now he's got a book out, someone can do Clive Myrie. He's got his autobiography out, hasn't he?
That's right, yeah.
There's next time round, let's do it.
There you go.
This is trickier than I thought it was going to be. I think any of them could have done any of them.
Shall we find out from the horse's mouth who did what?
Well, the thing is, I'm not totally sure of the... Well, I remember. Samira Ahmed was 1999 because she won.
Yes.
I was Magnus Magnusson. I said it as a silly off joke. Oh, yeah, I'll do Magnus Magnusson. Yes! And I went, no, but no one... kids would remember him. And then I had to read... I mean, he's lovely, but that book is quite boring.
His autobiography. Because also he wrote a book about the history of Scotland, and I was thinking, God, did you have to do that as
No. They basically said, look, well, you've got to read the book. Because the thing is, I was doing... I mean, the first time round, I did something Audrey had interest in.
What did you do the first time round?
See, this makes me look very... It's very uncultured. The Rocky films.
Great.
Yeah. I just watched the Rocky films it was brilliant. Yes. I loved it. Because arguably, the Rocky films... if you were to see Rocky 4 and Rocky 5 on an evening, you'd go, this is rubbish, and they are rubbish. But I believe Rocky Balboa was the greatest comeback and was a fantastic film. But as for the other two, Jaws and... Oh, I think Alistair Stewart, Lewis Hamilton, Tim Vine, Jaws.
That makes much more sense to me.
I'm almost definitely sure it was them.
Yeah.
But it was... that was the Champion of Champions one. So you didn't have any... that was so scary because it was comics and journalists. So you went... No one's going to be rubbish. You usually have somebody from Love Island or something.
A sports
person. They'll come last.
Yeah.
I know that's really snobby because I'm sure there are clever people on Love Island, but not many.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They've got other things to do with their time than, study things.
Exactly. They've got to spend time in the gym.
Yeah. Getting spray tans.
Exactly.
They're quite time consuming, spray tans, because you can't get dressed for a while afterwards. You've got to kind of knock about in a...
ruin your bed sheets. I mean, it's
disposable robe.
Yeah.
Kind of air yourself out.
Anyway. So, Magnus Magnusson, obviously you didn't win. We've established
that. I came second.
Honourable. You're a champion of champions.
Second equal with Alistair Stewart,
You know, that's it. You're champion of champions. You're already a winner, so it doesn't really matter. And I have always thought that you should be hosting a quiz show.
Thank you very much.
If that were to be the case, who would be your quiz show inspiration? Who would be the host that you would model yourself on?
Oh, gosh, that's really hard.
Think about when you were growing up. What did you watch when you were growing up? What were the quiz shows that were part of your life as a small person?
Are we saying quiz shows or sort of comedy panel shows as well?
Panel shows, game shows, we embrace it all.
I genuinely loved Les Dawson doing Blankety Blanks.
Yes.
Les Dawson, Blankety Blank was beautiful because I think that was the first time I saw someone. I mean, Terry Wogan had done it as well, but they made fun of the show the whole time. Yes. They were rubbishing it. And that was really quite new for the 80s.
Yeah.
There was so much, there was things like Bullseye, and there was all we've got these lovely presents for you. And it's not that great, it's a surprise. but I loved the... And Les Dawson was perfect as a host because just ripping the, taking the piss out of it all. So I thought that was, I thought that was fantastic. Yes, I would love to have been like Les Dawson. I would love to.
Slightly undercutting. Well, that is kind of your persona is sort of apparently quite sort of slick and jovial, but then with a deep, dark underbelly.
You know me so well. Thank you, Lucy. Tell more people this, because I think more people are shocked when they go on Twitter or now X and I'm ranting about something. And they go, that's not easy. Because as I said in my last show, a lot of the way I'm seeing is sort of pound shop Michael McIntyre. You know, you can't afford Michael McIntyre. You get something that's a bit like it, but it's much cheaper. And I'm not. I am nasty. I'm just a bit nastier than that. So thank you for knowing that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, maybe you should do a version of The Wheel, but, you know, a sort of slightly crap. Like, it doesn't quite work.
Like on the waltzes or something. Making everyone sick.
Yeah. I mean, I've never actually watched The Wheel because I'm always outside. But I'd be making bitchy comments like, yeah, this is quite hard. Probably for you, well, you're Saturday night viewers, so this will be quite hard for you. Things like that. Horrible, horrible bitchy comments. God, that's why I could never do a Saturday night show, because I'd just be rude about whoever's watching TV on Saturday night. Anyway.
They should be out at comedy clubs,
exactly,
clearly.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, the other thing that I was thinking in terms of your game show that we're going to get for you by the end of this podcast, rugby is a huge interest of yours.
Yes. Rugby's become my sort of midlife crisis. It really has. And it's very... I'm a massive Saracens fan, which is like the team everybody hates in rugby because they were done for breaching the salary cap. They're like Manchester City in football.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Because they're seen as having no soul and it's all about money and they've bought in the best players. They didn't actually buy in the best players. They just held on to the players that they developed through their academy. And they're the backbone of the England side that are rubbish but made it to third. Well, hopefully will be third or fourth in this World Cup. It's a third place playoff tomorrow night.
As we record.
But yeah, it'll be over by now. So they made it to the semi-finals. Had a slightly lucky draw, so I know. But basically, Saracens provided so much of that, and there are players that are ripped apart and have been the backbone of England for the last 10 years, like Owen Farrell, who Saracens developed, created, nurtured. So it's actually, and it is a lovely club. And I do. There's something. I don't know. Middle-aged men. There's certainly a lot of us there, and women. More women go to rugby as well than football. And I think it's because there's less incredibly idiotic stuff at rugby than at football amongst the fans. I actually slightly missed that. I must admit, the last time I went to a live football game, Arsenal Spurs, there was fighting inside the ground. And when you're up in the stand, it's lovely to watch. You've actually got two things to watch. And I love the madness of football fans. I love the fact that they lose it and men my age are screaming abuse about outside, mate, you, and they're pointing at like a 15-year-old kid and offering them outside. It's brilliant. Rugby, everybody's a little bit too, come on, let's play the game. Just be more moral. But yes, I adore it. And so, Saracens have become my thing. And I actually, the house I'm just about to buy is, every time I move a little bit closer to the ground.
Aww.
So I'm going to be able to cycle there.
Oh, love.
But that might inhibit the drinking while there. So, yeah.
So you'll keep moving closer to it. And then when it comes to scattering your ashes, the family won't have far to go. It'll be nice.
It'll be allowed, though, because the pitch it's a thingy pitch. So I don't think they allow ashes.
No, well, I think they're very hot on it. When I did a tour of Anfield a couple of years ago, and as we went in, part of the briefing was, and please don't scatter ashes on your way around. And like they were searching you on the way in, and I think that was what they were doing, was because obviously people come in and sort of great escape style, try and just drop it down the trouser leg.
Yeah.
So I did want to do a little rugby quiz with
you.
Okay. Because we always quiz our guests while they're here. But
this could expose me.
Well, no, because I don't know anything about rugby. I couldn't actually say, because I didn't even know that there were two types, and I was looking at rugby questions.
Don't ask about rugby.
This is league.
You can ask me about rugby league.
Yes.
I don't watch any rugby league at all. So you could do me on all that. That's how much I am totally union. So
I mean, to me, why have the two? Why can't they? It's like
Oh, don't get us started on that.
We could have
a falling out, Hal and I.
Exactly.
Which one's best, though? That's what I mean.
There's only one way to find out. No, there isn't, because you can't even play a match against each other. Different number of players.
Insane. So what I've done instead is I've gone obliquely towards the subject of rugby.
Okay.
So I am going to give you the names of some films, the titles of which contain rugby terms.
Oh, I like it.
So you need to identify what the film is and what the rugby term is contained therein. Okay?
We're
just going to give you the description of the film.
Sorry,
it's more of a movie
quiz.
I had a real
comedy idea about league and union that I need to... Well, it'll be on tell me what it was. It was just the idea of, there are two less players. There's no flankers in the scrum, okay? There's no... And it's the sexiest position. I don't know what's funny about this, but it's the sexiest position on the field. And it's why... I think it is. a rugby union flanker is the set. And I'm not, I don't watch for the wrong reason. I am a heterosexual man, but it's the position you want to be because they're fast, but they're strong and they're agile and all the rest. And I just think that's maybe, I'm just wondering why. I think rugby league is far less sexy, the players. I think rugby union, I bet. I know, it's just a theory. It's not.
Well,
no
is
joke
this why there's
this.
More women
brainstorming going, that's it, they've got no flankers, which is the sexy position. Anyway, sorry.
This is all good because when you do have something to plug, when you're doing another tour, people will have listened to this podcast and they'll go, well, I must come and see him on tour because I want to see what happened with that flankers material.
Yeah. That flanker material that doesn't seem at all funny at the moment. It might well be cut out. But I just suddenly thought, I must remember for myself something about sexy flankers.
You've got an audio.
Why league?
Stupid sexy flankers.
Who is your team in league, by the way?
Wigan.
Well, that's where the Farrells originally.
Exactly, yeah.
Owen Farrell moved. Sorry, this is not.
I'm learning.
I'm going to turn your podcast into a rugby nerds podcast. I mean, he must have come south at the age of 13 or 14, went to school, I think, in Hertfordshire, and he's still got a really strong Wigan accent. Yeah.
It's the kind of one that it's bone marrow deep is a Wigan accent.
But that's the strength of the man. There was a kid at my school, arrived from Manchester at 16. Bullied for doing A-levels, bullied about it. Well, we didn't bully him, he's made fun of it, that accent, because it is funny to children who hadn't been around it. And his accent definitely softened. Yeah. Owen Farrell must have been bullied, but he's Owen Farrell, so.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I'm just very impressed.
Powerful DNA there.
So I'm going to give you a description of a film, and you have to tell me the name of the film.
Are we both being quizzed?
You are.
Let's go one each.
Let's alternate. For you, Jenny, it's a 2013 American sports comedy film directed by Peter Siegel.
Okay, 2013.
That's your first clue. 2013. It's a film that has a rugby-related term in the title. Mm. I'll continue to give you clues. The film stars Sylvester Stallone and Robert De Niro as aging boxers stepping into the ring for one last bout.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Oh, no, now I'm looking at Hal. I was going to throw it over, but he's looking at me like, please don't do that. Okay, it's two words, and the initials are GM.
Not where I was going then. GM, and there's a rugby term in there.
Yes. Mm. One of the words in it is... It would be if you and Hal were to sort out which was better out of league and union by playing a game in some way, that it would be described as this. It would be because you're sorting out a beef, so it's a...
Grudge match.
Yes. So
I was going to say, grandad match. Oh, no.
What's the rugby term?
Match.
Oh, but
that's how much Lucy knows about rugby.
I was looking for mall rat.
No. Some of these.
Anyway, sorry.
Some of these may.
Sorry, you're now. I've now said ones that you've said.
Maybe. Okay.
But there's cricket match, football match. Anyway,
it's still a rugby match, though. Okay. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm
so this one is going to come to you, Hal. Oh, do you want hard or easy?
I'd better start with easy.
Easy, okay. A 1988 Spanish black comedy film written and directed by Pedro Almodovar, starring Carmen Maura and Antonio Banderas. The plot follows actress Pepper, who, after her lover Ivan leaves without explanation, sets out to find the reason and comes across an array of eccentric characters, including Ivan's son from a previous relationship and her best friend Candela, who has been held captive by a Shiite terrorist cell. The title of the film in Spanish is Mujeres al borde de un ataque de nervios. Mujeres... I do apologise to any Spanish listeners.
I got it, but I think I knew it.
Think of a Spanish film. Do you know any Almodovar films?
No.
Okay, you do know this one. You do know it. I think Penelope Cruz is in it. She was in most of it. Mm.
The title in English is pretty much as long as the Spanish title as well.
Yes. So, Mujeres, women.
Mm. Oh, women on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
Yes!
Oh! Breakdown.
There you go. Is that an actual rugby word?
Yes, breakdown.
Good. Okay. Jenny, for you.
Okay.
A 1967 American romantic musical comedy drama film based on the 1961 stage musical of the same name, which in turn was based on Shepard Mead's 1952 book. The film was produced by United Artists and directed by David Swift, with original staging by Bob Fosse. The cast includes Robert Morse, Rudy Valli, and Michelle Lee. Lee, all reprising their Broadway roles, as well as Anthony Teague and Maureen Arthur. The film marks the movie debut of Michelle Lee. Robert Osborne, who was an actor at this time, was given a small uncredited role as an office employee. Now, that's probably the only clue in there.
So it's based...
It's a very long title.
Oh. How to Get Ahead in Advertising?
It's not that one, but it's the other one that's a bit like that. So it's not How to Get Ahead in Advertising, it's How to...
Make friends and...
Win friends and influence people.
No, there's a third one.
Yeah.
How to succeed in...
Business without really trying.
Yes.
Yes.
Ah, wow.
Yes.
And the rugby term in there is?
Try.
Yes, very good.
Business.
There's always a bit of business. Okay, shall we do... I really thought this was going to be easier than it is.
It's really good.
I'm enjoying it, though.
Are you quite a film buff, then? Is that why you...
No, I wouldn't say, but clearly more than you two.
Sorry.
It's easy when it's written down in front of you. Okay, here's one for you, Hal. Hopefully this is a bit easier. It's a 2005 American biographical drama film directed by James Mangold. It's based on two autobiographies by an American singer-songwriter. The books are entitled His Own Story in His Own Words from 1975 and The Autobiography, 1997. It follows his early life, his romance with a singer, his accent in the... his ascent in the country music scene.
Did it win an Oscar?
It did indeed, yes. And it stars Joaquin Phoenix.
I never saw it. I know.
And Reese Witherspoon.
It's Walk the Line, isn't it?
It's Walk the Line.
And is that line?
A line.
I just love the way you take the term that were applicable to lots of sports.
There is a line on pitch. Okay.
It's hot. Yeah,
it's Here's another one for Jen. 1939 American adventure romantic drama film directed by Howard Hawks, starring Cary Grant and Jean Arthur, based on a story written by Howard Hawks. Its plot follows the manager of an air freight company in a remote South American port town who is forced to risk his pilots' lives while vying for a major contract.
Ooh.
It's a four-word title.
Uh-huh.
And the first word is only. And think it's about flying.
Yeah, only something with wings. Only angels have wings.
It's correct.
Hey!
And there are wings.
I worked backwards from the rugby
clue. There's only things like a few good men. There are men who play rugby.
We've already had women. Women play rugby.
Exactly. Women play rugby.
And they get nervous.
I can't remember what the score is. We never really care.
No.
So this one, I'm confident you'll get.
You've helped me a lot on the first one, I should say.
A 1998 British black comedy crime film written and directed by Guy Ritchie.
Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yay!
And it's Lock.
Lock, yes. Thank you. And that is quite rugby specific,
that
right?
That was good. There aren't many locks. There's lock in any other sport, is there? No. Lock.
No. There you go.
And like, I mean, that's
headlock.
What's about rugby, that you've got positions like lock. And my favourite is prop. Mm-hmm. Prop is the hardest, the guys at the front of the scrum who are literally, you can't play that position. If two of them get injured and there's no one else to come off the subs bench to play prop, they have to go to uncontested scrums because that's how dangerous that position is, that if you're not trained to play it, it's too dangerous to put anybody into that position.
Wow.
I was thinking that there's not many sports like that where literally they go, think somebody would get hurt if they played this position.
Well, I mean, I love badminton and there's none of that. Exactly. Absolutely none of that in badminton.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Do you have any quizzes that you love at the moment? Is there anything that you're kind of watching? I mean, not you don't really watch telly, do you? This is the problem.
I'm very. How do you know I don't really watch telly?
Well, because you're out all the time.
Exactly.
You're so busy.
That's the thing with
which
comics.
Is great. Yeah.
We're either not watching telly or watching rubbish.
Yes. Mm.
So you watch it. You go. And I'm a little bit mad about Married at First Sight. Although I'm beginning to go, it's ridiculous.
Beginning. Oh.
Well, it's because it's fascinating when you're back after years of being married. And I started watching it then, and then you'd feel smug and superior and go, well, of course, I've been married 21 years and they can't get on after 3 days, you know. But when you're suddenly I'm single. Well, I don't know when this will go out. Hopefully we'll still be together. But I'm sort of in a relationship, but it's the beginnings of a relationship. Mm. And we watch Married. I mean, she lives the other part of the country, so we're always phoning each other. And we watch Married at First Sight and go, actually, that's quite a good tip that the experts gave them on how to keep their relationship going.
Noted.
Yes, exactly. So I've actually tried to pick up dating tips from Married at First Sight or how to keep your relationship. Because what do I end up watching? I sort of will watch things when they come on. I won't watch celebrity quiz shows because I'm just too jealous if I'm not on them, even if I've been on them. So Celebrity Points, I'll go, well, I've only been on 4 times and I want a 5th.
How many times have you won Celebrity Pointless then?
Twice. Okay. And gone out first round or won it. That's the way I work.
Yeah, absolutely.
I go straight out.
All or nothing.
Won it once and I was part of really the main reason we won.
Who were you partnered with?
Dave Spikey first. And this was when I was a younger man and I was better. Last time I did it, completely carried by Deliso Chaponda, who basically the last round to win the jackpot, it was capital cities and with either a U or an A or something in it. And he just knows, because he's from Malawi, knows every... And we just went African cities and it just stormed it. I mean,
yes.
We got the bonus. And I have quite a close connection with my charity that I always do this for. So it is lovely.
Who is your charity?
To give them a message. Brain Tumour Charity.
Yeah.
And they're not that massive. So they, you know, £3,000 or whatever is handy to them.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what they get for that. No, is it three? I can't remember what you win, but we won the jackpot thing for them. And I was going, I have done my bit.
Aww,
but then I hosted their awards recently and went, I'll probably get one. No, there are people that have raised hundreds of thousands, not just me going, I got you £3,000, not pointless.
And I was on the telly at the same time. So we're all winners, really.
Yeah. But I do think Pointless is possibly one of the most addictive.
Mm.
And The Chase is addictive because it's got that extra, you know, it's when the people are competing against, can the chaser catch them all?
Yeah,
so
I
do think those have that extra
thing. Have you done The Chase?
I have done The Chase.
And how did you get on there? We won.
I was with Edwina Curry and Nikki Campbell and Graham Bell. We lost Graham Bell, the skier.
Okay.
He went off. And so we had to play it safe. And I actually stormed it.
Mm.
And I was the last one on. And they said, no, play safe, Helen. Don't go for the big amount. And we could have got masses. We could have bankrupted the show.
Yeah.
And they said, no, play it safe in case you get caught. And it was fine. We won easily.
Oh, who was your chaser?
The Dark Destroyer.
Yes.
Sean,
a very nice man.
Because
I made some silly joke about him being bald.
Oh.
And he was really nice and he laughed about it. So he was lovely.
He's heard a lot of those over the years from Brad.
But he was very sweet. He was really nice and very respectful. That sort of thing. Oh, Hal, I think you'll be good at this.
University Challenge Christmas special?
No.
Oh, no, that should happen. Where did you go to uni?
York. Not many people went to. Lots of comics went to York.
Yes.
Me, Harry Enfield, Zoe Lyons.
God, so, that's a team.
Yeah,
right,
that is a team already.
So there must be some others. But York's very unfashionable uni, according to my daughters, because it's, you know, it's a
campus-y.
Campus.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, but it felt quite cool in the 90s, early 90s. It felt quite different. But
you've always been cool, Al.
Thank you. You were Manchester, weren't you?
I was, which is always cool. I mean,
and you've been on University Challenge.
I have, yes. And in fact, so has my husband. So
was he Cambridge, though?
No, Manchester.
Sorry to say that he was, and you not Cambridge. It's just that he's got the air of Cambridge.
Yeah.
Hasn't he got the air of sort of...
Yeah, it stinks of Cambridge.
I think it's all going to be fine.
That's the only reason I married him. I thought he'd gone to Cambridge. Yes. And it turns out he was loving it in Manchester.
Were you Cambridge? Were you Oxford Cambridge?
No, I was not.
Where were you?
Leeds.
Oh, where my... Well, no, I say where my daughter's just got an MA from. Leeds Arts, because she's an artist. It's Leeds Arts Uni. Which, it is lovely. That is a great student city.
That is a cool city to go to.
Both my daughters have gone to... Sorry, am I allowed to keep... I'm so ADHD and undiagnosed, and I know every comic is. My daughters went to... Well, one just got her MA from Leeds Arts, but then the other one's at Newcastle. Both my daughters went to the biggest party places for uni. Mm. And they still managed to get work done, but it's just kind of wrong, isn't it? Mm. My youngest says, yo, well, Durham Uni, they have to come to Newcastle to go out. And I go, yes, but they're working very hard and they're very clever. That's what...
I'm with your daughters. That's what it's about, the partying. I'm trying to think what other ones you would have done. Eggheads?
Yes. Oh, I forgot I did that. Yes, I did Eggheads. We didn't win.
No.
Mm. It's hard to win on Eggheads.
Yeah, we didn't win Eggheads either. Yeah.
But that was great fun. Me and Ruth Bratt.
Oh, lovely.
We were the last two. The others, I can't remember how it works because I don't watch. But
so you get a subject and then if you get beaten by the egghead on your subject, then you
have to sit it out.
Two of us for the final round. And it was very bonding. It was great. And it was and Jeremy Fine's lovely. Is he still, doing that?
Yeah.
Yes, it's lovely.
If you had to have any other comedians on your pub quiz team, I'm guessing Deliso Chiponda might figure. Who else do you think you would have? Always Ed Byrne, I would go for, even though, you know, we have fallen out as the listeners to this podcast.
You've made up, though.
It's an on-off relationship. We're like the Taylor and Burton quizzing.
You bonded over Pam's people again.
Can I promote his show, by the way? I mean, he is on tour.
Oh, it's unbelievably good.
Great show.
Rob Deering,
I'm rather upset because my partner is going to see it again when it comes near her.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, sorry, that's me bigging up and,
bigging it up and also being a bit jealous.
Yes, exactly. She loves it.
That's fine. Rob Deering, I think, is amazing. Now Ellie Taylor, everyone has said, which we've not had her on yet, and we must do, but she apparently is an absolute demon at the quiz. Andy Osho, actually.
Oh, really? Is Mark Watson not brilliant at things? Didn't he win Mastermind? A lot of the time comics win Mastermind on the first one.
I beat Mark Watson at Mastermind on one occasion. He's probably done it since, but I would just like that to be on the record.
So were you on a Champion of Champions thing?
I've done a Champion of Champions. I beat Mark Watson the first time, and then Champion of Champions, I beat Miles Jupp and Zoe Lyon.
I'm not doing that. Zoe, very, very bright as well. Zoe, yes. I know best, but Miles Jupp, I would have thought very well. Gosh, no wonder you do this podcast.
Think he'd have gone to Cambridge.
You'd be on my team then.
No, thank you. But I'm not actually that good on a pub quiz team. But
isn't it interesting? They say comedians do well on these things because they seem to have a lot of rubbish knowledge, a lot of useless knowledge. They're very trivial.
Well, also, now Jenny is very interesting on this about recall, and this is one of the most interesting things, I think, is about how it's not just what you know. It's about being able to recall.
Yeah, because if you're a touring comedian, I guess you're going to be curious about the place you go to. So you're going to take things in and you want something to riff with audience members about. But it's that recall. So your neurons are firing with its call and response. So you hear something and you go, what can I make a joke about that?
Yes.
And so your brain kind of fires back in that way. So it'll respond in the same way to a quiz question. If you just redirect a little bit, you're always ready to... Oh, what have I got in the filing cabinet about, Bolton? Yeah. There we go. Exactly. Let's make a joke about how lovely it is.
I just realised the other one I wanted to is obviously a quizzer and comedian is Paul Sinner.
Yes. I mean, I almost feel like that's not allowed because
it would have to go in disguise.
Yeah. Okay. But you're absolutely right. I mean, it would be, if you were allowed Paul, you'd never turn him down, would you?
No.
And which comedians would you really not want to have on your pub quiz team? Let's go for that one. I'm going for Stephen K. Amos because I've done Mastermind with him and he simply couldn't care. Like, turn up on Mastermind not having done any prep.
That's special.
It's such a baller move. So I admire him, but I would not want him on my team.
I love this person, but she was on Richard Osman's House of Games with me. And didn't really understand how the game worked for half of it. She won a round at the end of the week. Kerry Godleman. Very, very bright, but again, isn't prepared to do the work.
Yes.
Whereas I'm too competitive. Yep. I grew up in a family. I had two older sisters. I was the little one, and I was often, we'd have little quizzes and things. And I care too much, and that's the thing. Especially Richard Osman's House of Games, where they've got very opinionated viewers. The stuff I got going, Hal really wants to win. Hal's taking it all too seriously. And I went, No, I am. I'm taking it seriously. I'm there to win.
Yeah.
And you get, you can take stuff. You're actually doing a celeb quiz on Rich Johnson's House of Games and taking stuff home with you, not having to give it to charity. Not that charity. Charity's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. But do you know, that is the thing, isn't it? Is that having that responsibility taken away from you. So it's not like, oh, but, you know, if I lose all this money, then the charity doesn't get it. Just going... It's for a fondue set yes. that will be in my house.
Yes, exactly.
Somehow that's freeing, isn't it?
Do you know, though, they repeat... I did it. Have you done it on House of Games?
I have, yeah.
I did it in 2019. And it got repeated. And apparently, I think... Because I don't watch these things enough. Mm. It got repeated. And apparently, the thing is to give away lots of you if you win. Because I won 4 shows and then lost the 5th one. I actually think the 5th one, they... God, the questions were stacked against me. Yes. They fixed it. Anyway, but apparently it's become a thing that you share all the presents out with... Well, presents, the prizes. Yeah. I call them presents. Yeah. You share all the prizes out with everybody else. We weren't doing that in 2019. Got repeated. Hal Crandon, you didn't share anything. So I went, I didn't know I was meant to. Oh, this is no. Social media just destroyed me.
Yeah.
It's a weird example, House of Games, of... The contestants are treated as contestants by social media.
Mm. Mm.
So that sort of... I don't know, specific level of commenting is usually reserved for the contestants on something like The Chase. Yeah. They will lay into someone for going for the low offer or whatever. But there is no safety net of celebrity on House of Games. So House true. Of Games viewers, they have thoughts.
No, exactly.
Yes. Oh, and they have databases.
Yes.
But it's quite good. I think because it's not one of those where there was an original version and then it was the celebrity version came afterwards. Mm-hmm. It's just like, this is the game and we will treat everyone who plays it as a fair game.
Exactly.
I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I've got one that's about to come out where I am going to get such a social media pasting.
Oh. Yes.
Because looking back, I'm a little bit too competitive.
Oh. I would be very disappointed in you if you weren't competitive, though. I think you're living up to all my expectations
of
you.
You've taught me well. You have. You have. Jenny has coached me.
Not really.
Be a killer in these situations.
Is that... Because does it have a Champion of Champions on Rich Dozen's House of Games,
yeah.
doesn't it? Yeah. Do they listen to this? Because I've not been asked onto the Champion of Champions. Maybe because I didn't give away my prizes or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was...
You're not a fan favourite. So.
They know they have to just... Oh. So you've got to... Yeah.
I'm sure it's only a matter of time. Yeah.
But I do... I think I have a face on these shows where I'm going... It's like sort of, there is a real... I do a serious... I think I really concentrate because I do desperately want to win. It does matter.
Again, you see, maybe... I feel like we're coming up with some sort of show where almost like you're very nice at points. So it's people on waltzes being sick... And then you're nice to their face, but then behind,
yes.
like those off-camera moments or hot mic moments.
Yes, exactly.
Where it is just you saying, I can't bloody bear any of these dickheads. I think Nasty Quiz, let's say, you know.
Look at the way they dress. They need the money. Things like that.
Yeah, I think we're due a return to Nasty Quizzing, aren't we? A sort of, you know, the weakest link is kind of coming back. I think we need harsh.
Very harsh.
That's the last one I've done, the weakest link. Have you done the weakest link?
No, not in its present incarnation.
No, I did a weakest link. It's not come out yet, so I can't talk about it.
No.
For the listeners, there was a face made, but I can't tell you what it was because that is top secret. Well, do you know what? It's been such a joy talking to you about your quizzing. I mean, are there any others? So we're going to get you back on the House of Games Champion of Champions, if they're listening.
Yes, please.
What else is there? Tipping point is mine.
Oh, really God, no. Tipping point. I've got to tell you about my tipping. You've done Tipping Point.
No, I really want to do
it. I did Tipping Point a few years ago. And it haunts me. Do you ever do... The thing that gets me about these quizzes is... And this happened on Mastermind, where... First time I did it, certainly, in the general knowledge round, where you sort of wake up in the middle of the night and go, I got... When your brain gets tired and you panic and you get something wrong, I got something really stupid. Even when I won, it was when I won Mastermind, it was some obvious thing that was... The clue was most commonly born drinking. The obvious thing was tea, and I was tired.
Yeah.
I find that second round of Mastermind, it's 2 minutes or something.
Yes.
And your brain gets tired, and I sort of went, Ribena or something... And it just goes, it was so obviously tea. So I'm on Tipping Point and I'm well ahead. I can't remember how the show goes. I can't ever watch it. I will never watch the thing. Me and Michael Owen. So I'm slightly thrilled.
Oh,
with Michael Owen. Great player.
Wow.
Great striker.
Yeah.
Tess Daly. It'd be me, Michael Owen, Tess Daly.
Wow. Yeah.
That's starry.
I don't know if many people are watching for me. But a slight drop in celeb status. And me and Michael Owen. And... I was well ahead, and he did get lucky with the coin bit at the end. Mm. But there was a question that was obviously, it's about the Last Supper, and it was obvious who they were saying about the painting and they mentioned the Last Supper, and I forgot who painted the Last Supper.
Yeah, well, we've all got those moments.
And I was going, is it Leonardo da Vinci? Is it? I don't know. For some reason, because my ex-wife's an artist, my daughters are both art people, and I know nothing about art and don't have much interest in it, and said something Michelangelo. And I mean, Michael Owen went, oh, I don't know what this is about, and didn't know.
Yeah.
And I could tell that Ben Shepherd looked at me like, did you deliberately get that wrong? Sort of thing. You know, he didn't, but it was a look in his eye. And I was thinking, no, I genuinely forgot who painted The Last Supper. I've never spoken about this to anybody. I can feel my throat tightening.
Oh, no.
This is the sign of a true quizzer, though, because you don't remember all your glories.
Yeah.
But you will wake up in the night.
You must
suddenly
have had it so much.
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah. You just start to, you know, put them all together in one box.
Yeah.
File it away in the brain, and the box of shame sometimes opens and you think, oh, no, not this one. Not this one.
It's awful.
Yeah. Why do we do it?
Well, we do it for charity, for the money for the charities. Oh,
yes. Of course we do. Of course we do.
And when we're not getting any other TV offers. That's why you do it. That's what, I mean, honestly, you do, with things like Pointless, where you get thrown off early and you go, well, that was pointless if you go out first. But if you're all the way through, you go, I'm on the whole show, agent. I'm on the whole show. I made it the final.
I don't know. There's something to be said for, because actually when you go out, there is that feeling of, oh, it's a shame for the charity and whatever. But, you know, you do get to be
home early.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I'm just lazy. Well, I am looking forward to seeing you hosting a nasty game show with possibly a rugby theme. I don't know if we fully explored that. And I'm looking forward to being on your pub quiz team.
Yes, you definitely. I definitely find it. Yeah.
That's lovely. Thank you very much. The gorgeous Hal Crutton.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what a varied and wide-ranging chat with Hal that was.
I really can't wait to devise a quiz for Hal to host. I think we get down the fairground stat.
Yeah,
and start doing some research on what ride we can base it on.
I mean, the problem is I don't know which channel to pitch it to. It's sort of, what's the bleakest TV channel?
Is live TV still going?
Yes. Let's bring back live TV just for this.
Oh, the news bunny.
Yeah, topless darts. I mean, those were the days. That was when broadcasting knew what it was about.
Did it, though.
So tune in soon to live TV for sickness and darkness on the waltzes. Waltzes on the verge of a nervous breakdown. There you go.
Yeah, with Hal Crutton.
With Hal Crutton. That's the show. We will look forward to seeing that. Thank you to Hal for being our guest. Thank you to Amanda for being a wonderful producer. And thank you to you for listening. We'll see you next time for another episode of...
Fingers on Buzzers.
Oh, it's like you were on the waltzes just going away from me.
It was
there.
The Doppler effect.
Yeah, it was.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.